Leader!
Order, order.
The parliamentary year began at 2 p.m. on Tuesday with this announcement from the Speaker, David Carter.
Honourable members, I wish to advise the House that I've received a letter from Mike Sabin, resigning his seat with effect from Friday, 30 January 2014.
Mr Sabin's resignation creates a vacancy in the Northland electorate and reduces the number of MPs in the House to 120 and his National Party's caucus down from 60 to 59 MPs, sitting on the Treasury benches for a third term, with their leader, John Key, kicking off the opening debate of the year with his Prime Minister's statement and the reference to the mandate they received in last year's election.
And the message was pretty simple. Carry on. Carry on making the country more wealthier. Carry on making this a more vibrant country. Carry on making this a more multicultural, globally connected country. Mr Speaker, carry on making New Zealand a successful little nation we can all be proud of, Mr Speaker. That's what they said. And for the third time, the public allowed us to work with our friends at the ACT Party, United Future and the Māori Party.
Who, within hours, had crossed the floor to cast their two votes with the opposition when the government adjourned the debate on the Prime Minister's statement to put the House to work on a couple of bills. The first was the Education Amendment Bill No. 2, which establishes a new regulatory and disciplinary regime for teachers and reduces the size of university councils. Without Mr Sabin, National had to rely on both ACT and United Future for the two votes now needed for a bare majority of 61, defeating the 59 of all other parties, including the Māori Party, to give the Education Amendment Bill No. 2 a third and final reading. The House then debated the second reading of the Immigration Amendment Bill No. 2, sending it on to the next stage by the same narrow margin, with all opposition parties concerned about its lack of protection for migrant workers. There was more debate on government legislation on Wednesday in the form of three bills in their committee stage. But apart from question time on Thursday, MPs slogged on through the debate on the Prime Minister's statement until its interruption by the adjournment at 6 p.m, with 2 hours and 36 minutes remaining on the order paper for next week, as indicated by the Leader of the House, Jerry Brownlee, in his weekly business statement on Thursday.
When the House resumes on Tuesday, the 17th of February, the government will look to progress the debate on the Prime Minister's statement and a number of pieces of legislation on the order paper, including the Gambling Amendment Bill No. 2, the Parole Amendment Bill, and the Energy, Fuels, Levies and References Amendment Bill.
The debate on the Prime Minister's statement will end in a vote on whether the House should have confidence in Mr Key's government, a motion quickly amended by Opposition Leader Andrew Little.
I move that all the words after that be deleted and replaced with, "This House expressed no confidence in this National-led government because this is a government that has lost its moral compass, turned a blind eye to the deplorable actions of its MPs."
Among them, Mike Sabin, singled out by Mr Little's police spokesman, Kelvin Davis, in the first question time on Wednesday.
To the Minister of Police, on what date, if any, was the first of any briefings given by the Commissioner of Police or his staff to him, his predecessor, the Prime Minister or any of their officers in relation to the reported investigation into Mike Sabin?
The Police Minister is Michael Woodhouse, who took shelter behind the only valid reason available to ministers for not answering a question, that it wouldn't be in the public interest.
It's not appropriate, nor in the public interest, for me to discuss details relating to whether I may have received or provided details on a specific police matter.
Opposition questions on the other big topic in the week's two question times, whether the government's deal with the Sky City Casino will require taxpayer funding for building a new convention centre that's not an eyesore, elicited a similar response from the Prime Minister.
The government's preferred position is that Sky City pay for the convention centre at $402 million, but we'll see how that goes.
Mr Key was certain about one thing, though, he doesn't dye his hair, a subject raised by New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters.
Does he stand by all his statements?
Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, yes, especially that one when I said yesterday there's no dyeing these locks, baby.
Time for any question.
Order, supplementary question, Right Honourable Winston Peters.
Well, how come the curtains don't match the carpet?
A short and curly one there from New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from Parliament.